You are listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering, mahoganysilvering.net. Fresh Meat, an interracial erotic romance by bestselling author L. Loren. Spending bike week in Daytona Beach was supposed to be research for an upcoming movie role. Smoke had no idea all the perks of being an undercover biker would offer. He couldn't afford any mistakes, so he took a vow of celibacy. However, fate had other plans. As soon as he arrived, a beautiful little Spitfire sparked his engine, and he threw those vows right out the window. Baby Bird captured his heart in one day. Now his mission is to make her his and claim his own happy ending. Fresh Meat, part of the Lunchtime Chronicles by best-selling author L. Loren. Available on Amazon. Get your copy today.
From author Mahogany Silverain comes the book, Tell Me You Love Me. Tell Me You Love Me is a paranormal and diverse romance novella. This is the first book in the Kenya Clark series. Breaking the laws of magic, a supernatural serial killer is unleashed on the city of Atlanta, Georgia. Special Agent Kenya Clark of the GBI Paranormal Crimes Investigation Unit has been given the case. Her partner hates anything to do with the supernatural. Kenya has a gift that allows her to see the crime through the eyes of the victim. However, in this case, she sees through the eyes of the killer. To solve the case, she must find out what her connection to the killer is. But will she and her partner be able to work together? Tell Me You Love Me from author Mahogany Silverain is available on Amazon in both Kindle and paperback editions, as well as the author's website, mahoganysilverain.net. Tell Me You Love Me from author Mahogany Silverain. Order your copy today.
You are listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silverain, mahoganysilverain.net. Good evening, everyone. So glad you have joined us this evening. We have a great show for you. This is the Mahogany Says Show, and I'm your host, Mahogany Silverain, author, teacher, and all-around fun person. We have a wonderful show. We have our guest tonight is the multi-genre author. She does nonfiction, fiction, and children's books. And her name is Avalon Brown. Hello, Miss Avalon.
Hi, how are you? How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing just great today. Doing great.
Staying safe, right?
I'm trying, but, you know, I have to be out there on the battlefield, so.
That's right.
I'm doing the best I can.
You're a nurse, and you're doing the best you can. Wow. So I have to say thank you for your service, because you're on the front lines of this pandemic.
Yes,
so.
Thank you, yes.
Yes. Yeah, so thank you for getting up and, you know, braving and going, you know, getting out there and helping others who are falling in this illness, and people who, you know, who are not so careful and decide to just ignore all the warnings. They just go out and do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys are right there to help them through it. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Now, you're also a writer. So you have a book that's called, was that, It's Nothing But the Devil?
It was The Devil All Along.
It was The Devil All Along. Okay, I'm sorry. I totally messed that up. Forgive me. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. That's great.
So what inspired you to write this book?
Well, this book has to do with my nursing career, because, like, I've been a nurse for a long time. Like, it's 39 years right now. So, I mean, like, I went through a lot of struggles. And, you know, in the beginning, I felt like, you know, it was because, like, as a black nurse, I felt, you know, I started nursing back in the 80s. So, I went through a lot of different struggles, a lot of different prejudice, just, you know, things that I didn't think I would have to go through nursing, because I had a whole different outlook about what nursing was. So once I got into nursing, I wasn't expecting to go through a lot of the stuff that I went through. So at some point I was like, you know what, I'm going to write a book about all this stuff, you know, because I just can't believe I'm going through this type of thing. So I kept saying that, and then finally I just sat down and I decided to just start writing about all the things that I went through, and that's how I came up with this book. It's about my nursing career.
Nice. So that's like almost 40 years of nursing, and I'm sure you have some interesting stories. Could you tell us a little bit about what's in the book?
Well, it's sort of like, you know, I can start it like the book kind of starts out about me just wanting to be a nurse, you know, from a young child wanting to be a nurse and how I look up at nurses, you know, and how I thought nurses, you know, I saw them in those white uniforms, the shoes, the hat, and it's just like I adored nursing. But then once I actually wanted to be a nurse, encountered like even going to nursing school, meeting administration of the nursing program, the first thing I was told was, why do you want to be a nurse? Nursing is not for you. You should be a secretary. That right then and there, that just like, you know, it
hit
hard. Like somebody that doesn't, you know, at the time the administrator was white. It's like,
right.
Why is this lady telling me that she don't know me? I'm just coming out of high school. And this was like a shock for me because it's like, right then you're killing my dream. I want to be a nurse. You're telling me that. Nursing is
exactly.
not for me. This isn't, you know, you should go and be a secretary. That's what I was, you know, told. But, of course, I had a lot of, you know, it was a type of school. People were saying, well, you know, they don't really let black people, you know, in their program, stuff like that. But I guess, you know, they had to let us in. But we all failed out the first semester. But that didn't stop me because I was determined. So I just went somewhere else, you know, and I became that nurse. But even becoming that nurse, I was working in a particular hospital already in dietary and just getting up on the floor. The first time I tried to get up on the floor, it was like, okay, when we get an opening, we'll let you know type
right.
of thing. And it was like, okay. Couple of months went by, I still didn't get any word, and I'm working right there in the hospital, and I see people from my class being hired, and I go upstairs, and I'm like, I thought you didn't have no openings, did you? You know, oh, we still don't have no openings, we'll let you know. I kept getting that kind of story, and
oh,
then finally someone told me which supervisor I need to go to, only because that supervisor was married to a black person. And I got upstairs the first same week. Meanwhile, this other one been telling me for 3 months, there's no opening. And finally someone said, well, you know, they usually don't want anybody from dietary up here. Because it's like I never saw any black nurses in that hospital. Okay, so I wasn't thinking like that. So it was like, then it hit me why, you know. So even getting up there, then it's just like in this book, it's like I tell each story that I went through, all these different instances that I went through that I felt was unfair. There was a lot of unfair moments. There were just things that I always seem to be fighting with administration, like supervisors. It's like, you know, it was like because At the time, I'm thinking this is a whole prejudice thing going on. And I stayed there in that hospital for 18 years and just endured all these different things. And, you know, because my family was very religious, so my father would always said, never let them make you quit. Go ahead and go through it.
You push forward, yeah.
And I must, yeah, and push forward. Don't give up. Don't let them make you quit. But just the things that I just felt like I'm always fighting. Every time I go to work, it's always something different. Like, I give you one example. One night I was at work, and we had this new admission. And, you know, everybody's going in. When there's a new admission, you go in, you're giving them, you know, if you ever been in the hospital, you got to give them the base and this, that, and the other. So I went in the
right.
room, and so did other nurses go in the room. The next morning I come to work, the next day I come to work, and the head nurse is wanting to talk to me in her office. So I go in her office And she says, oh, well, you know, the patient daughter said that her father's missing $5, and he said that the black nurse took the $5. Now, mind you, I'm not the only person went in the room.
Exactly.
I was accused of $5. So it's like, okay, we're going to investigate. We'll look at this. Now, I'm hurt because you're talking $5. I went in the room and helped the patient and everything. All of a sudden, $5 is missing. And so I went home crying to my father. You know, like I said, my father was a minister. So he's like, listen, don't worry about it. You know, got to handle it, blah, 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 you know. And 3 days later, she comes. Now, mind you, I'm feeling like, you know, I'm going to work and this thing is over me because it's like about $5. It's like I'm scrutinized. I'm in trouble. It's like we're going to look into this and da, 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 da. And it's like
right, over $5.
Like, as if I was over $5. I was some criminal. This is how I'm feeling. And, you know, out of all the people in the room, why is it me? So 3 days later, she finally comes back and said, oh, you know, the daughter called and said she found the $5 in the drawer. And, you know, in my mind, it's like, okay, nobody ever looked in the drawer or, you know.
To begin with,
like,
why didn't they? Yeah.
Yes, I felt like you had, you pointed me out. It was like you singled me out because I'm the only black, because I was the only black nurse for 12 years. I was the only black person between all three shifts, days, evenings, and nights. I was the only black nurse on that unit. And there wasn't, it was only a handful of black nurses in the hospital, period. So it's like I felt singled out at the time because I was black. And these type of things went on all the time.
All
the
time.
Whole 18
I can only
years
imagine,
that I was there.
Wow.
But the thing that got me, what really got me in my nursing career is when I left that hospital, I went into a specialty area, right? I went into dialysis. And I was so happy because I'm working, I felt like, okay, I'm working around my own kind, you know, the manager's black and, you know, if I tell you, I went through working under my own people, and I'm telling you, it. Now, that was what made me stop saying it's a prejudice thing. That's where the title of the book kind of comes from. It was the devil all along.
Devil all along, yes.
Because
you can use anybody.
Right. I got, you know, by then I'm getting into church along, you know, getting older, getting into church. And that's when I started seeing and realizing what was going on, you know, because as a young nurse, when I was first going through this, I was fighting back. It's like I was always mouthing back because every time they do these things to me, I'm raring up. You got me riled up because, you know, these things, you're talking to me like that because even there in the hospital one time, I'm sitting at my desk and I'm writing my notes and the charts were over on a shelf over where I'm sitting at the desk. And this nurse, she kept of another culture, kept reaching over my head. Finally, I turned around and I said, excuse me, the word is excuse me. Do you not see me sitting here? So she's looking like she don't hear what I'm saying. I said, you know, the word is excuse me. You know, you're disrespecting me, reaching over my head like that. And she blatantly says, I don't need to respect you. So, you know, as a young nurse, I'm saying that's just what I said. Whoa, you know, what you mean you don't need to respect me? By then, you know, I guess, you know, I went to get up and another nurse grabbed me because I was hot-headed like that as a young nurse. And another nurse grabbed me. But as she grabbed me when this nurse was walking by because I was getting ready to go out, I could only reach a cart. And I took my foot and kicked the cart. And I said, that had to be God because the cart curved and it didn't hit the young lady because, you know, later on I realized I could have hurt her. But it's just like these were the type of things that I put in the book. I put in the book every, I don't know, for some reason when I started writing, I remembered all this stuff that was going on over all the years and how, you know, even being under my own people, they actually was treating me worse. And at some point,
yes.
I just realized this had nothing to do with prejudice. This is just, you know, the spirit that's in people, you know, and this is
exactly
how the book came about.
Because he doesn't want to see you succeed, so he's got to use people
right.
to try to, all he can do is just stab at you and just roar, because he can't do anything to you
roar.
Physically, but yeah. But if he can get you to
yeah.
stop doing what you're doing, oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So this is how the title of the book came about. It wasn't until after I finished writing the book, but it's basically, you know, about my nursing career and all the things that I went through and how I realized, I guess, God had been watching over me each and every time, because although they were doing these things, he kind of overturned
right.
it. It still ended up in my favor each and
favor,
every
exactly.
thing that they did.
So he turned it around for you, because everything that the devil meant
yes.
for harm, he turned it around for your good. So that is
right.
true. That's awesome.
Yes. Yes.
So that is amazing. So what made you decide to just get everything together, and what was your journey like publishing?
I didn't really know after I wrote it. I really didn't know how to publish a book. So someone told me, go to the library. So I went to the library, and sure enough, they had a section with different books on how to publish. So I started, like, reading through the different books and writing down different things, and I started looking for publishing companies on, you know, the Internet to publish
mm-hmm.
the book. And I sought out, like, Christian publishers, and so one of the first publishing companies, they're not around anymore, was Tate Publishing, was the first one that accepted my transcript.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I went from there. I dealt with them until, you know, and that's how the book got published. That was my first book, and that was in 2012.
Nice. Okay. So it's fairly recent. So you had lots of stories then by that time. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a lot. So did you find it difficult at any time with the rewrites or telling you the editing, and did they want you to change
yeah,
anything?
That's the part that got to me, because, you know, like, I guess I felt like I had to keep reading this, going through reading, you know, every time they edit and send it back to me. To me, that was like one of the hardest parts of, I think, getting your book published, because you have to keep reading through this whole book. I have to keep reading through the whole book to,
exactly.
like, you know,
see where all the changes
were
at.
All the suggestions,
at.
Making all the
yes.
changes. I think that's the biggest part of publishing a book. You know, you end up reading your own story so many times. And for me, every time I read through it, I saw something different.
Different,
know?
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
is true. That actually happens. Or you see how you can change something there, or maybe you should have said something here, and you pick at it. Well, at least I do.
Yeah, but, yeah.
So it is difficult. But, wow, you have some truly amazing stories in there. So that should be inspiring to nurses even coming into field now. I got out of high
yeah.
school wanting to be a doctor, but my counselor told me I should just go into being an administrative assistant, which is basically a glorified secretary at the time. That was the 80s.
Right.
So, yeah. And I was like, I know I had low math grades. So she says, well, you'll never make it with these grades. I mean, I passed, but it's
right.
like just barely. So she's like, and you want to be a doctor? I don't think so. And I let that get to me. I
yeah.
didn't do like I went to school, I went to business, and I got a business degree, and I really kind of kicked myself for it later, because I really should have
yeah.
followed what I wanted to.
What you
and
wanted
that's
to
right,
do,
you know,
yeah.
what I wanted to do,
yeah.
and that was be an OBGYN and deliver babies. And
see,
the guts
yeah.
led me get into being a doula and helping women anyway, so I ended up being a doula to several women in my family, helping them with their babies, so... you know,
oh,
I still
good.
Got to do it. I just didn't
yeah.
get to do it as professionally, but yeah. And he
the
and told
wanted.
Me, he's like,
mm-hmm.
right, the way I wanted it. But sometimes, you know, it's not all exactly how we want it, but he gives us that desire
right.
to pursue it,
right.
you know, and I let the enemy shut me down, because I was like 17
yeah.
when I graduated. So I was like, okay, well, my math sucks.
Wow.
I'm not going to do it. But guess what? I was people, great at writing, right?
Yeah. And people have read the book and asked me, why did you stay? I said, because my father always said, never let them quit. So I just kept on going. Because now the one thing I knew, out of all the little things that I was going through in the book, the one thing I could say about my own self, I felt, now I knew my ultimate goal was to be the best nurse that I can be. So even though they did these little things to me, they could never say anything bad about my work. And I believe that had played a lot of part in it too, you know?
Yes, definitely. Because, you know, if you have anything, they can attack your character all they want to, but if your work is solid, they really don't have anything to complain about other than the fact that they don't want you there. But they can't get you out of there because you actually are a very good worker. So, yeah, so they actually have no real complaints other than their own prejudice. And sometimes with our own people, it is, you know, crabs in a barrel thing that I try to explain to my husband about that. He just laughs at me. And I'm like, it's a thing. Really, it is.
Yeah.
We can't,
And I think sometimes, too, when there's like, we're managers, you know, they feel like if you're a strong person, it's like you're going to come and take their job. But it's like for me, I even made it as far as being a manager. And I always felt like, let me grab that other person and give them all the knowledge that I have. I'm not trying to knock them down. I want them to know this stuff so that they can take my place. I'm getting older. You know?
Exactly. But, yeah, insecurity creeps in for a lot of people when they see, oh, well, you're better at this. And well, see, now you're in a genre that is not so competitive. We actually support each other, especially Black authors. It is.
Yeah.
I've had really good experience with just everybody coming together and helping each other and giving advice and, you know, well, how do I do this? You know, and there's someone there that's like, hey, I did it this way, and this is how you can do that.
Right.
So
I'm
glad this is the one, you know, occupation where I didn't have the whole, you know, backstabbing or you're going to take my job or you're doing better than I do.
Yeah,
you know?
I've learned a lot from other authors. Yeah.
Definitely. So will there be any other books coming out for nonfiction?
Oh, yeah, I have quite a few.
Okay.
Well, I did the second book that I did was regarding my father's life, My Two Bishops and Mother.
That's about my father's journey.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's about my father's journey from a childhood wanting to be a bishop and start his own church. So I wrote about his life, you know. From childhood up until the time, you know, he passed away, before he passed away, how he mentored someone that was so that there would be someone to take his place and everything would already be in place when he passed away. And, you know, the rules and regulation, the church would go on and there would be no confusion as who the next leader would be and how things would continue. So that was my second book.
Okay. So did he enjoy that book?
Well, he didn't get to read it, but my mom did before she passed. You know, he passed, you know, like 25 years ago. So the person that he put in place is still in place, you know, and he's now in his late 60s and he's trying to mentor the next person to take his place so that it continues, you know, continues on.
Right. Wow. Okay.
So, yeah, my father founded the church, and so, you know, the church keeps going on.
Well, that's good.
The
mantle gets passed to the next person. And
yes.
Or they just keeps going. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
So your children's books, how did you get into that?
Well, that was, you know, I was at this book expo with the second book, with My Two Bishops and Mom. And, you know, I was at an author's expo, so I often go around to all the other tables just to see what the other authors are doing and talking about, you know, just to network.
Right.
And I ran across this school teacher. She was there with her book, and it's, you know, like she was doing like a book, Save the Mammals kind of thing. And she happened to be from my hometown. And
okay. We
got to talking, and she realized I was a nurse. So she asked me, she said, have you ever thought about writing children nurse books under your profession? And I said, nah, I never even thought about children books. It was the farthest thing from my mind. She said, she said, you should take your expertise and write children books. And it really got me to thinking, you know, I'm sitting there at my table the whole time, and I'm thinking. And so a title pops in my head, and I was like, let's go with this book. So I wrote this book based on my grandchild. It's, you know, the one that's called Mommy, Why Do I Have a Cold?
Do I Have a Cold?
It's based
okay.
on my grandchild, because I had one grandchild all the year long. She used to be sniffling. So I basically wrote the book and used her as the character because she has my middle name. My middle name is Colette, and so her first name is Colette. So I kind of wrote the book and used her as a character. At the same time, I'm talking about, you know, I used her as wanting to know, why does she have a cold? Where do colds come from? Where does she get her cold? So
right.
I went into, like, talking about, like, hand hygiene. And the book has pictures along with the story showing different things, you know, for children, sort of like a teaching book. Also, it's a fun book, but teaching book, you know, because I talk about hand hygiene, because I figured the book would come out just in time for flu. I was thinking about the flu season.
Right.
So this book kind of teaches kids how to wash their hands and going outside and make sure they have a coat and hat, because this is something my granddaughter never has a hat. She likes to run out without a hat on. And the grandmother is talking to the child about, you know, wearing a coat and how germs float through the air, how children, when they're around each other and when they're at school. So there's a picture.
Touching everything,
to go
yes.
with each. Yeah, so there's a picture to go with each page of the story as this grandmother is teaching the little girl about where her cold might have come from. So it's sort of a fun
goodness.
Teaching book.
Nice.
Yes.
And I'm sure your granddaughter enjoyed that too.
Oh yeah, she reads it over and over and over.
Oh, how old is she now?
Over and over. She is 10. She is
okay.
10. Yeah, she's 10.
Oh. So, that was your first children's book.
That
and
was
now
the
you
first
have a
book.
The first one.
Another,
and now you have another one.
Now. Well, actually, I have a couple. Because after I wrote that, the funny thing is, after I wrote that book about her, I realized, okay, the other grandchildren, because I have 7 grandchildren, right? It got me to, I started writing books about using each one of them as a character. So that's my goal, to make sure that each one of them have a book. So far I have 3 published. I have 3 published, and I have the other ones written out already. I just have to, like, I'm just trying to publish maybe one
publish
a year kind of thing. But I have
right.
written all of them about each one. The only one I haven't written is my last 2 grandchildren, because one is 22, the other one is 20. So I have to figure out exactly what to write about them. You know, I have to make sure it's something that they're agreeable to. And you know, I haven't figured out exactly what to write about them. But there's the second book is My Dad in the Big Machine. That's about my little great-grandson. And then we have this latest one, That Needle Is Not For Me. So each one of my children's book, my grandchildren are the character in the
mm-hmm.
book. And it's like I'm using their name as the character. So they'll each have a book where they're the character in the
just,
book.
Oh, and that's something they'll have for
yeah.
the rest of their life, is to remember.
Yeah.
Wow. And they can pass it on to their children and grandchildren and say, look, you know, I'm in this book.
Right.
That's what my kids
yeah.
do. Oh, how sweet. So you said there was 6 that you've written, and there's 2 more that you were going to write. Now, will those all
yeah.
be...
Well,
medical related, or
Well, no. The first one is medical related. The second one, the one that needle was not for me. The latest one that's out, that's about my granddaughter going to the doctor and finding out that she has to get a vaccine in order to go back to school. And she's very reluctant in getting the vaccine, and the doctor has to convince her to take this vaccine. So each one of the books that I write, I'm making sure that I have a picture to show exactly what we're talking about in the story. So this book is more or less, you know, she has to have that vaccine before she gets to school, and she really likes school, so she has to decide if she's going to take this vaccine
Let's
in
take
order
the
to
shot.
Get back
oh.
to school. Yeah, yeah.
So she's like, I don't want that needle. No way.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what she does in the book. She's shaking her finger. No, no, that needle is not for me.
Not for me.
You know, in the book. Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
So it's kind of fun, yeah.
Well, yeah, I know most children probably do not. Every time they pop out with the needle, it's like, nope, no, no,
nope.
My kids used to fight, like, nope, they're getting ready to take off. And they give you this horrible look, like, how could you do this to me?
Right,
because
right.
it hurts.
The book
but,
is like that. Yeah, yeah.
So did you find it easy or difficult to find someone to illustrate your children's books?
Well, The first one, the same publishing company that did the second book, MEP, they published that one. And then the next one, the one with my dad and the big machine, I had that one illustrated through Pfeiffer.com.
Okay.
I did that as a self-publishing. So Pfeiffer.com, you know, they have a lot of different illustrators that you can choose from, and I really like them. So they did the illustrations. It was really nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it wasn't too expensive then.
No.
I think that was the biggest setback for me was how much the illustrations cost me. Just to
no,
do it.
No, matter of fact, they did the illustration, and they also formatted the book for me, you know, pretty much. Then all
nice.
I had to do was like download it on KDP on Amazon.
Right.
So yeah, it wasn't expensive at all. And they did such a nice job. I really liked it.
Okay. I'll have to look for that one too. So do you have your own author? Yeah. Fiverr. Okay. So do you have your own author page on Amazon?
Yeah, I do have one of those author pages. Yeah. What's that? Author Central?
Yes, yeah. Author Central.
Yeah. Unless I'm on, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I made one of those pages.
For those of you just joining in, you are listening to Mahogany Says, and we are talking with Miss Avalon Brown. And we are going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Fashion Pride, Alejandro. An interracial romance author, Mahogany Silverain. Alejandro, the son of a jaguar king, who doesn't want to be king. When he has a premonition of a human woman's fight with drug coyotes, he rushes to save her. He takes her on the run to keep her safe from the cartel, who mistakenly believe that she has stolen from him. Alejandro and Regina fall in love. However, when his father is killed by cartel enforcers, Alejandro is forced to become king. But Regina feels unworthy to be his queen. Can this reluctant jaguar king lead his people, protect his homeland, and make Regina, a human, his queen? Fashion's Pride Alejandro by romance author Mahogany Silverain. Available on Amazon. Get your copy today.
Thank you.
Fresh Meat, an interracial erotic romance by bestselling author L. Loren. Spending bike week in Daytona Beach was supposed to be research for an upcoming movie role. Smoke had no idea all the perks of being an undercover biker would offer. He couldn't afford any mistakes, so he took a vow of celibacy. However, fate had other plans. As soon as he arrived, a beautiful little Spitfire sparked his engine, and he threw those vows right out the window. Baby Bird captured his heart in one day. Now his mission is to make her his and claim his own happy ending. Fresh Meat, part of the Lunchtime Chronicles by best-selling author L. Loren. Available on Amazon. Get your copy today. You are listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silverring. MahoganySilverring.net. And we are back. Thank you for joining us this evening. We are talking with children's author and nonfiction author, Miss Evelyn Brown. And Miss Brown, do you have writing, like when you sit down to write your next book, is there a certain pattern you follow or a certain time of day you write?
No, I don't have any certain time of the day. It's just like when the mood hit me, like I'll type, you know, write up a little bit on the computer, save it, and, you know, when I have some time and it hit me again, it's just like, you know, in the spare of the moment, it's just like, okay, let me get up, and I sit down and just start, my mind just start going into it, you know. I don't have any certain time of the day. It's like when I have free time.
Pretty much, yeah.
You know, just, yeah.
Because you're still working full time?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what is the most difficult part?
What, for writing?
Yes. What is the most difficult part for writing?
Right
well, for
now,
you.
I don't even, you know, like, I don't know, like, now that I'm writing into the children's book, it doesn't seem as difficult because once I have the title, I just sit down and just start going with my imagination. You know, sometimes I'm sitting there laughing to myself because I'm, you know, my imagination just start going. Like the book that I'm the grandchild that I'm working on now, mm-hmm. this book that I'm doing, I'm sitting down and it's about a little boy that's, he's the ant leader. He's the leader of the ants. So I'm making up this story about how these ants are trying to get into these people's house, and I'm taking it from there. So it's just sitting down and just letting my imagination just go with it. Or, you know, sometimes, you know what, a couple of times I sit. Now, this one that I'm writing, I was actually listening to someone talk about their experience in the garden with some ants and stuff like that. And that's how I picked, because this grandchild, he's 12. So that's how I said, oh, you know what? I can take that story and make that with my grandson. This is where I'm going with the story. So I'm just taking the story a whole nother level to a talking ant. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So, you know, sometimes, you know, I pick up stories like that, you know, pick up stories like
that. Oh,
that
sounds good. And, you know, at that age, they're kind of inquisitive anyway, and they kind of want to learn more about things, whatever subject they're looking at, you know. It's probably, probably freaked out if the aunt is talking to them, you know.
Yeah.
Would be cute.
So just letting my imagination go. Because you know what it is? I think now that my mind is open more. Now, I don't have TV in my house. I haven't had it for a couple of years. So it's just like I can sit down and just start thinking about things, and it just makes it easier for me to write because, you know, I just let it go.
Yes, it can be a huge, TV can be a huge distraction. Yes.
Yeah.
That's why I have to kind of put myself in the office. I'm like, okay, no, I'm going to sit down and write, because if not, I'll get caught up in some show or on my phone.
Right.
myself trying to post, you know, or promote, but then I end up reading other stuff. And, you know, before you know it, an hour has gone by. And I'm like, wait a minute. haven't done anything.
Yeah, it's true. It's
so easy.
So, yeah.
Yes,
with the children books, it's a little more, you know, it's easier, you know. And I'll probably be writing books for a while.
Nice.
There's other titles that I have in the back burner that's not children books. But, you know, I want to get through these children books for my grandchildren first.
Okay. So are you going to continue writing more nonfiction books as well?
Yeah. The titles that I have are like, you know, things about life that goes on. Yeah. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, I've written down titles, and I just have to put the story with the titles.
Nice. Sometimes the titles come first. So is that way for you?
Yeah.
Titles come first and then the story comes based on the title?
Well, these have lately. That's the way it's been lately. The very first book, the title came after, but lately the titles have been coming first. And then I
mm-hmm.
just sit down and put the story with it.
Nice. Okay. So it goes from there. So do you find any part of it emotionally draining, or do you find it refreshing just to write and get the stories out?
The part that I think can be draining is promoting the books. You know, like, you know,
yes.
I research a lot of stuff, and I do get, like, a lot of networking. This is how I'm, you know. And, like, when I joined those Black author groups on Facebook, this is how I found
mm-hmm.
you. And promoting. So this is how I've been networking, and different people will connect me to someone else that's promoting. So I think that's like the biggest part of writing. Writing is not the issue. Getting the book promoted and
getting promoted, yes.
You know, is
and being able
to
talk about it.
Work. Right.
Yes. Because if someone asks you what's your book about, you got to be able to rattle it off in like a minute. Because people kind of, their eyes glaze over, right?
Sold, right?
Yes, because their eyes glaze over if you go more than that. You know, it's kind of like,
yeah, That's true.
Yes, and especially with children's books, because you're really geared for children. It's easy to get their attention, but an adult, you know, they're the ones that have to pay for the book. So if you can if you can get the parent excited about it, then they'll actually pay for it. But if their kid is jumping down, like, I want this book, you know, but you have to that seems a little bit harder for me, promoting children's books, because you have to be really kind of.
This is the one that has been, like, I guess that caught, you know, has caught people's attention was Mommy, Why Do I Have a Cold? Because I guess the season, it is the flu season, and now we have Corona bothering us right now. And because the book is a teaching book for the children, and it talked about all the things that will help protect the kids during the flu season, you know, people tended, you know, this book caught a lot of people's attention.
Because there's a lot of adults
that
need it. Yes.
Right. Because even though it's for children, this was information that's good for adults too. Because
adults
may not always be. I don't think a lot of people was thinking how important it is to keep those hands clean.
Wash.
You know. And now people realize I really need to wash. You know.
My hands.
I really need to wash my hands and wash it correct and use the correct technique. People wasn't thinking about, you know, how much they're touching. So the book kind of talks to the kids about how touching different things because, you know, children are out playing. And I've read the book.
Right, they just wipe their nose and keep going. Yeah.
So I read in the library, like the library invited me to come, like the after school and read one of the libraries did. And I was just at another children's, what was that, the All-American Dr. Seuss? With a group of children reading. So it's like, you know, at the end it was like, what do you remember? So this little, it was so cute that one of the reads, one of the little boy came up to me and said, look, Miss Brown, see, I'm zipping up my coat and I'm making sure I got my hat on my head before I'm going outside. So it's like, you know, just from reading the book to the children, they learned just that quick, you know, he became aware of, okay, this is what I really need to do when I go outside. This might help me from getting a cold.
It's a cold,
yeah.
Yes.
So it's that type of book, yeah.
Oh, I definitely need to get that for my grandchildren. So is it only on Amazon or is it in bookstores or can I order it from another bookstore?
Well, it's in Amazon. It's on my website. It's in a bookstore, but it's here in Newark. It's at a Christian bookstore. It's in Crossroads of Life bookstore, and I believe they
okay.
have it on their website. You can order it through my website. You know.
Okay, so you can order it through your website. And tell us what your website is so that my listeners
can. My website is authoravalonsbrown.com. And like I said, the book is also on Amazon.com. You know, you can get it in hardback or you can get it in the paper, the soft cover, paperback
okay.
book.
Nice.
Actually, if you go to Amazon and put Avalon Celeste Brown, all of
mm-hmm.
my books will come up at once.
Okay. Because I found a few, but I did not find the third or the middle children's book. I only found the two.
You have to put like my full name.
Okay.
All the books come up on one
yes.
page. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Because I know I found the one with you about your nursing story, and I did see the one
yeah.
About your dad, the bishops and mom,
mm-hmm.
and then I did not see the one. You said the little boy in the machine, or
my dad in the big machine.
Oh, my dad in the big machine. Okay. Yeah, I didn't see that one, but I would definitely have to do that because I have three granddaughters that they keep, you know, with the whole runny nose and everything constantly.
Nose
so
is
like,
up.
Wash
yeah.
your hands. Yes. And that's so important. And, you know, they're at home with mom now. So they're, you know, she working from home and they're in close contact and they just pass it back and forth.
Yeah. Because children are playing and they're not
thinking.
Well, yes,
they
and,
do. And they're
you
not
know,
thinking. And they're still at
and
that
the,
age.
And the book is. Yeah, and then, you know, I also look at it like, you know, parents are working, they're so busy, and, you know, you don't always have time to sit down. I'm sure, you know, when I was working, I didn't sit down and go over all these little things, you know, with my children, because you're working, you're busy. So it's like this book just kind of gives them that ideal. It just gives them something to think about, you know, oh, am I doing this? Oh, I... Because a lot of the children, as I read the book to them, they was like, oh, yeah, they had the answer. I would do that, you know, type
mm-hmm.
of thing. So they really enjoyed that particular book.
Oh, yeah. Because a lot of them, they come up thinking, okay, we wash our hands before we eat. Or, you know, we
mm-hmm.
wash our hands before dinner. Or we wash our hands, you know, before when we take a shower, when I wash then. But they don't think, you know, at night, but they don't think throughout
yeah.
the day they need to keep washing their hands. They're only used
their
to
hands.
It certain times.
Yeah.
So they'll say, wash up because dinner's ready, so go wash your hands, you know. But they don't, you know, they just run outside, come back in. And
you'd be surprised how many adults don't, you know, even think
they don't
like
think
that.
About
because
it either.
Now, yeah, because for the past year now, I've been working in the field of infection control. I'm an infection control nurse.
Mm-hmm.
I did the dialysis for like 20 years, so now I'm in infection control. So, and we train a lot of people for washing hands, and many people don't even realize, you know, you really need to wash your hands for like 40 to 60 seconds. And there's a,
exactly.
you know, a certain technique that you need to do to make sure your hands are really clean, you know. So you have adults that, you know, I see stuff where adults walk off and don't wash their hands too, so, you know.
Yes, especially after going to the bathroom. I've noticed that with
yeah.
adult men. It's like, did you wash your hands?
Yeah.
I tell my sons, no. Did you wash your hands? Mom, I didn't really. No, wash your hands. Go back
right,
and wash
right.
your hands. I was like, I didn't do anything. Yes, you did. Wash your hands.
Yeah, it's true.
But yeah,
it's
yeah,
true.
But they do. And it's not even something that they even think about and they are aware of. Sometimes I think they just don't even, you know, my husband will be outside working. He'll come in. He'll wash the dirt off his hands. But sometimes he'll play with the dog and then go. It's like, oh, wait a minute. Wash your hands.
Yeah.
You just finished playing with the dog.
Yeah.
His thing is, oh, the dog's mouth is cleaner than ours. I was like, you weren't touching his mouth.
No.
You were petting the dog.
Yeah.
So it's like, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm, that's
you
true.
You still got to wash your hands. But yes, so you have a website and then you've got Amazon. So are you on other mm-hmm. social media like Facebook,
well,
Twitter,
Facebook.
Instagram?
I'm on Instagram. I'm on Instagram as just Author Avalon Brown, I believe. Yeah. Author. It's like Author _ Avalon _ Brown. And
okay,
on Facebook,
Facebook,
I'm Author Avalon S. Brown.
Okay.
Yeah.
Author Avalon S. Brown. So are you on Instagram at all?
I'm on Instagram. That's the one that's Avalon _ Author _ Avalon _ Brown. And I believe I'm on Twitter as Author Avalon.
Okay.
I haven't used Twitter in a while, so I'm not sure.
I know.
But
I know
I'm on those three socials. Yeah. Ooh, I don't have really time lately to be
I try
on
to hook those up so that when I hit one, they all kind of go together. I can post simultaneously so I don't have to keep going back through.
Really?
Yes, you can actually hook your Instagram to your Facebook and to Twitter and Tumblr. And I just recently figured out how to put Tumblr on there. So now I add that and you can, it'll automatically show up.
Oh, okay.
So I don't have to go individually and post it. It'll automatically just click on there and it'll post it for you. Because even my shows, I have the show, but it also shows up on my YouTube. So there are videos of, so you'll have it in a repeat there and also iHeartRadio. So you'll have it, you know, people can listen to it at any time.
Mm.
And your pictures will go,
I
have your pictures, you and your books, so that it will play the video of you and your books as we're talking on the video. So.
Oh, okay. Oh, and it'll be on YouTube?
My YouTube channel,
nice.
Which is...
Nice.
Lady Mahogany 3 is is my username on YouTube.
Okay.
So, so I try to hook everything up just to, because it is, it's time consuming trying to, like you said, promoting yourself.
Yeah.
And I have more fun promoting other people. So sometimes I forget to post about me. I'll start promoting other people, but I guess because I get excited when I find someone that I really like or when I start, you know, someone asks me, can they come on the show? And I look at their books. I'm like, oh, yeah, this would be great. And so I start trying to promote as well, you know, not from just being on the show, but even after the show, I can continue when I get feed, their pop up on my feed, I'll go ahead and share it because they have really, really good books that I think everyone needs to read. So definitely,
right.
I do it on both of my profiles for you because I have a profile for my children's book. So, yes.
Oh, thank you.
Definitely.
Thank you.
I'll promote that too.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that.
Thank you for coming on the show and talking with us and sharing about your books. And is there anything you would like to say to a person who's just starting out becoming an author? Any advice you would give?
Well, be persistent. You know, sometimes it takes a while. It took a little while for the first book when I first started out. I would write a little bit and save it and come back, you know, write a little bit more. I would say be persistent with the book. You know, if this is your goal, this is the thing that you're going to do, start and don't stop. Don't stop until you finish it, until you get it published. You know, whatever your ideas, if you have to write little ideas down, I would write little notes. I wrote little notes. I had a tablet. I wrote little notes. And eventually I took all those notes and put them together because I had to get my thoughts. Yeah.
Definitely.
Just be persistent.
Yeah. I to kind of keep the notebook with me on my bedside just in case I get something. Or even if I'm sitting down doing something else, an idea will come and I'm like, let me write that down because I'll walk away and forget it within 2 seconds.
Yeah, that's
like,
true too.
Boom,
yeah.
It's gone, you know. But
Because one sentence can turn into a whole page.
Exactly. Or just thinking of or see a picture. Sometimes I'll get a picture in my mind. I'll think, you know, or I'll see a picture that really inspires me. You know what? That would make a good story. You know, I see people and I think all of a sudden a story idea comes to my mind about that person. It may not be that person that I'm writing out, but they've inspired me to write something about them. But if it's a little more detailed to the person, I kind of say, hey, I'm writing character based on you, just to give them a heads up.
Right.
Or someone that I really admire. Because sometimes we're like, I know this character is me. And I'm like, it's not you, really. It's a different character. Mm-hmm. They're like you, but that's not really you. Okay. But yes, people do get confused and they're like, that's me. I'm like, no, it's like you, but if you want to claim it, okay, but nobody else knows that.
Right.
So what is your like favorite food?
Nowadays I don't even know the way I eat. My kids say I eat too much chicken, so I don't know.
That's what chicken's quick and easy.
I like baked chicken. It's just something about baked chicken. I just like baked chicken.
Oh,
they
good.
Said, Mom, you always eat. Every time we look around, you eat some chicken. I like baked chicken. You know, it's something about
that.
The taste of baked chicken. Yeah.
That's good. Most people like fried chicken, but that's, you know, baked chicken, that's better for you. And that's good.
Yeah. Especially as you get older, you know, I'm kind of up there in age, so.
Yes. I'm right behind you. So.
Watch the fried stuff.
Because it creeps up on you. And before you know it,
it does.
If you're not moving as much as you're taking in, especially with everybody being at home, I'm used to it because I've been working from home for like the last couple of years. And I homeschooled for 6 years. So it's like now I teach from home as well. So it makes it, you know, I have to make sure I have a routine and get up and do things and keep going because it's easy to slip into, I don't feel like getting up, you know.
Especially
when you're hurting or in pain or you're struggling with stuff. And so it's very very easy to slide into, well, I'm home, you know, never do my hair, you know, I don't have to go anywhere. So, you know, but if we keep that routine up, that could also help us from, you know, keep us from getting depressed from being at home all the time, especially for a lot of people who are active and like to go. It's really hard for them right now. Staying at home.
Right now, yes, it is. So, I mean, you know, but they, if they really look, they'll find other things to do. You know, there are things to do around the house if you really look. You know.
I know. My kids are like, bored. Don't tell me you're bored because I'll give you something to do. You know what? We just moved in here.
Really
let's just get this room.
Children,
Because
at least they're in school, they're with other kids. So, right now, it's a little hard for them to just.
Because their classroom
house,
is virtual. Yeah, and my son's like, I got away from that, you know, because I homeschooled him for 6 years, and now he's, you know, he just went back to regular school. So he was kind of like upset. He's like, I'm stuck doing homeschool again. I was like, oh, I'm sorry, baby. You know?
Yeah.
I said, but think about it this way. Everybody is suffering with
you're not alone because there's a lot
you're
of
not
people.
Not alone because everybody's got to do it now.
Us ones that don't have a choice but
go out. Yes, and I have asthma, so I kind of tend to stay in. So I have to go. Even my doctor's appointments are now on, you know, online and computer. I'm like, just wave at them, you know, like even with my prescriptions or whatever. But because they're like, nope, don't risk coming out here. It's not worth it. So.
Nope, don't do it. Yep, it's not worth it because it's really like, you know, right now the numbers are rising and in New Jersey, especially, I know the numbers are rising, and you know, I don't know. It's just better safe than sorry.
Definitely, same thing here in Georgia. We have a lot of people that just cannot sit home. My mother is the same way. This is giving her, forcing her to actually sit down, because the women in my family were so active and so used to getting up, and she has her transportation business. She takes other people to dialysis, and she loves it.
Wow.
I mean, I think. If she couldn't leave the house, I think she would really get upset. And that's really kind of where she is right now. She still gets up at 4 a.m. and takes her dialysis patients and then comes back home. And then she's home the rest of the day. But still, it's a struggle for her because she likes to be active. I know. I keep telling her that because she just turned 71. But it's hard. It's like you can't even... Same thing with my grandmother. I was like, I could never keep them in one spot. There, if she wasn't playing bingo, she was out with the ladies doing something. So you couldn't keep them home. It's like they kind of went downhill if you keep them home. But it is better. Everybody has masks, and it's funny how everybody's laughing at me for wearing masks because I have asthma, and the seasons get to me, or somebody smoking nearby, or somebody even spraying aerosol sprays sends me into a wheezing, you know. So my respiratory therapist is like, you know, let's just keep the, you know, keep the mask with you so that these irritants come up and you keep your inhaler. So, but I said, well, I guess you guys aren't laughing. Here you go. I passed out my family members, my mask. They're kind of like, you got some more.
Oh,
like,
they've been mandated to wear masks here. So, like, you don't have a choice. If you go out, you got to have a mask on.
Mask on. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you definitely stay safe because I know you're with it every day, and I know you do everything you can to be right there. And thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your story with us and for actually going out and being on the front lines of this, you know. So I appreciate
you
coming on the show.
Yes.
And gladly when you have another book come out.
Me.
Yes. Well, you're welcome back anytime to come out and talk about your new books, especially when you get the other two for your grandchildren now. We'd definitely love to hear about that,
too.
Okay. So thank you so much for joining us, and thank you all for listening tonight, and I hope you have a wonderful evening. Blessings, peace, and love.
Thank you. Good night.
You are listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silverain, MahoganySilverain.net. Listening to Mahogany Says with Mahogany Silverain at MahoganySilverain.net. Thank you and good night.